Hi everyone, welcome to another fitness marketing module. Mark here, and today I'm going to teach you guys how to transform your business and manage your time like you never have before. I'm going to teach you how to become a time management maniac. And there's so many different things we're going to look at: systems, effectiveness, efficiency, process, kind of that, all those things listed in that diagram right there. I want you to become a ferocious watchdog, get it, of your time. This is going to allow you to triple your productivity, which will lead to you doubling your income. Plus, you're going to live a happier and much healthier life. So let's dive right in. The first big step in this process is going to be the time audit. This is huge. This tool is provided in this module, and we're going to actually jump out of it and out of here and take a look at that tool, and we're gonna really dig in. I created the spreadsheet to really show you guys how you can manage your time much, much better than you have previously. And what we're gonna look at here is how you spend your time week to week. Now, the best way to do this is to basically journal how you spend your time. Now, you could use your smartphone, whatever you want to use to track the time, or just keep a tablet inside your briefcase or something where you could just jot down time you're spending. You could use your calendar. If you use a calendar, I use Google Calendar to be able to look. I put everything on my Google Calendar, so I'm able to see where my time's spent mostly. But there's definitely other things that we do where we need to recognize how we're spending our time. So you're going to just journal everything using something. And then once you've journaled it, you're going to put it in the spreadsheet. Now, this spreadsheet's already filled out. It says Bob's Time Audit. You're going to put your name in, of course, and you're going to look at all the hours spent. And as you can see with this, it adds up the total hours. Everything's, you know, it's automated. And it's then to the right column, it's going to tell you the percent, which is really the critical number we're looking at. So when you're doing this, you really have to be honest with yourself, and some things you're going to see you're not going to like, you know. Now, and there's other things that are going to kind of jump out a little bit. Like, this is a 7-day audit. So sleep, including naps, is 35 hours. That's not good. That's an average of 5 hours. Unless you're one of those people that can function very well on 5, I look at that and say, this person's not getting enough sleep. And the second indication of that is probably the amount of time they're spending training clients. And then, you know, working out, you know, they're not working out enough. They're spending other time taking care of other tasks and priorities. And if you're running a fitness business, working out should definitely be on the priority list. But I've been in that position myself personally, where I was working so much, training clients, I was taking better care of my clients than I was taking care of myself. It happens. But when you take the time to do this, this is going to enable you to recognize the areas that need addressed. And then we're going to look at all the tools and different things you could do to improve each and every one of these. So once you've completed your audit with this spreadsheet, you'll be able to, like I said, identify hours and the percent spent. You know, a big issue with our clients, at least mine, is always TV. People spend a lot of time, 22 hours a week. You know, it's about 3 hours a day. To me, that's a lot. And it's 13% of the time. So there's opportunities there. Okay, jumping back to our PowerPoint and getting back into that first big step that we were talking about is, as I mentioned, you're gonna journal your time and then you're gonna complete the audit. We've looked at the tool, you see how it works. It's just, you know, plug and play, put the numbers in after you've done your journaling, and then you're gonna evaluate everything. Something I need to talk about right here, right now, and I need to kind of step back a little bit. And one of the reasons we're doing this audit is we need to determine your worth. And that's going to be determined how many hours you spent working on your business. As an owner, entrepreneur, you need to really realize if you're working 70 hours a week and what your revenue is, that's how much income you're bringing in. The idea is to work less at some point and have a higher income, which is the entrepreneurial spirit. And that being said, is you need to figure out right now what you're worth by taking the total amount of hours and your average weekly income or revenue, and you're going to find out what you're worth per an hour. And the goal is to increase your worth. But also, that's when you start realizing that you're probably doing tasks you shouldn't be doing and spending time on. And we're going to dig into more of those issues as we move through this module. But my point is if you're worth $100 an hour by doing what you do, when you are spending a certain amount of time every week doing $10 an hour tasks, you are losing money and you're devaluing your worth. This audit is going to allow you to prioritize your time. And as I've already indicated, is that on that Excel spreadsheet, stuff is going to jump out and it's going to be talking to you. And that's when you've got to start rearranging your time in order to get your priorities straight. The areas of valuation, here's some ones that I'm going to touch on, and I'm going to also give specific examples. TV, as I mentioned, work and sleep are usually those top ones. Social media is an issue. I just want to talk about this for a second, and I call it social media psychosis. To me, social media has become a sickness for a lot of people. And if somebody asked me if I ever had a problem, I would be the first to raise my hand. I was spending too much time on it for the wrong things, and I was getting sucked into conversations and issues that I really had really no right to spend the time on it because it wasn't going to change a thing anyways. And that's a whole discussion in itself. But social media for me is basically about three things. It's a little bit, I'll spend a little bit of time looking at something funny or weird, a video, and then maybe reading a good article, and then supporting my friends' posts and people in business to support what they're doing out there. And then, of course, doing posts for my business, which eventually leads to clients. And also creating good retention with my existing clients. Once I focused on those three things, my time spent on social media went way down. And again, like I said, I know people that have social media psychosis. It's a sickness. They spend hours and time, I don't even know where they find the time to do it. And they're just pissing away valuable time on something like that, especially when they engage in politics and things like that and get sucked into that vortex. Okay, I am off my soapbox on that. That's why you've got to look at each one of those times in your time audit and really evaluate each one. Now that we've done our audit, it's time to automate, delegate, and systemate. And this is part one. It's time to make some improvements, and it's time to implement those changes. Here's just a short laundry list. There's so much stuff out there. Email autoresponders and auto campaigns. If you don't have a system like this, you should have one because it will save you so much time in dealing with clients and leads. My best example for me is that I will create a campaign and set to run it. And just set it and forget it, and it runs. One that I have ongoing is anytime a person's email that is a new client is entered into the email database, the CRM, a 30 or 60-day automatic client referral campaign starts, and it's spread out over that period of time to try to generate referrals from that new client. They're having a great experience, but it's all on autopilot. The only thing I do to supplement that is they do get something in their welcome packet and a letter that outlines the referrals, which is great. They see that and then the campaign starts shortly thereafter. And it's all automated. Auto marketing is another thing. Having a Groupon out there that's already out there, having a good Yelp account that can be found, and your website can be found on Google, that's all auto marketing. Sure, once in a while you got to brush it up. Change some things, update it, but for the most part, if it's already out there and it's generating leads. It's on autopilot, and it should be bringing you in leads. It's automated. One of my favorite things, I'm going to give you a really good example here of, I have an autoresponder text app on my smartphone. And if I'm going to go play tennis for hours or I was training people, I would put that autoresponder to respond to both sell and auto. And it was usually a nice message saying, I'm working with my clients right now. As soon as I'm done, I promise I'll get back to you, something like that. You can actually set a time frame. So there's these neat, cool apps out there, and we're going to talk more about that too. And then auto billing software. I use an automated billing system. I set up a client's new package. It's auto charge based on whatever time of the month they choose. There's tons of these types of systems out there. Same thing. I set it and I forget it. In fact, I call it my billing assistant, basically. They will send emails if a credit card bounces or there's a problem with it. So it's like my virtual billing assistant, and I'm able to get the information, and then using the system I use, if a card expiration is no longer good, I'll text the client and say, hey, your card expiration, do you have the new one? And they could usually text it back to me. I update it, run it, and done. We're literally talking a minute. Now, here's another one. This is a biggie. Hiring or bartering with people to do stuff you suck at or you shouldn't be doing, as I mentioned earlier. If you're doing $10 an hour tasks, you're devaluing yourself. Let me give you some specific examples. I do not do yard work. I hate it. I suck at it. I've hired people to do my yard work, and it gets done, so I don't have any problems with my HOA. It's done on a regular basis. I would not dare go out and buy all the tools and all that stuff. I mean, now, there's nothing wrong with doing this if you really, truly enjoy it and you find it therapeutic, maybe cathartic, if you will. That's fine. For me, I just absolutely despise it. But I know people that are so good at it, they could make Disney characters out of their scrub brushes. Great. Good for you. But even still, you should factor that into how you spend your time. Now, another good thing is people that have other talents and skills that you don't, and perhaps you can do training, you could train them, and they could do something for you. Always be looking for ways to barter with people. And maybe it's time to hire a new employee, whether it's part-time or full-time. And then sometimes maybe you just need a temp. You just need some temporary help to get caught up. And you should have a pool of resources, people you know, or if you got to run an ad in Craigslist. But, there's temp agencies too. There's plenty of ways to get help short-term or long-term. And you definitely want to look, another thing is I have my house cleaned, and I'm talking personal and business, because it's where you spend your time everywhere. And it's critical to make those adjustments within both the business and those personal frameworks. Empowering employees. This is a tough one for any entrepreneur to give up control, because we tend to be control freaks. That's just part of our DNA. However, when you are able to let go of certain things and you find very trustworthy employees, you will find yourself freeing up time and stress like you wouldn't believe. For example, I have my trainers that if a piece of equipment breaks down, they have my authority up to $250 to have it repaired. And I even have a way for them to pay the vendor if they want to be paid right away. I have a system for that because I trust them. And that makes life easier for everybody. The job gets done sooner. They don't need to call me. Now, if it's over that amount, $250, then I need to decide, well, maybe it's time to buy a new treadmill or what have you. But at least they know they have my confidence to make that decision and just get it done. So look for opportunities at every turn to empower your employees to make decisions. It's going to give them a better sense of being part of the business. It's going to show them that they've earned your trust and you trust them to make good decisions. And it's going to make your life a lot easier. SOPs, standard operating procedures. Every business should have one. McDonald's, even though most of us are pretty much anti-McDonald's. That's been one of their cornerstones of success, is having standard operating procedures. So if you have a Big Mac in Iowa, it's going to be the same in California. Well, SOPs also help streamline processes, and it also helps create consistency. So you want to have good SOPs within every facet and function of your business. So things are being done consistently. People aren't guessing or making up their own thing. So you can deliver a consistent result throughout your facility and your operations, especially when it comes to your clients and gym members. Now, tools. This is a big one. There are so many tools out there, it's almost overwhelming now. In fact, I make the joke that sometimes people are using too many tools and it's taking up too much of their time. Fine with what works for you. I don't care if you carry around a day planner and you want to write everything down. It's about results. If you get good results with managing your time with a day planner, go for it. My favorite is Google Calendar. Evernote's another one of mine. And then I have a checklist that I use when I go grocery shopping or I want to create a checklist for something. It's in my phone and that way I know what's in front of me. Timers are a great way. Egg timers or timers on watches. Set deadlines, set timing parameters that you can operate within in order to get things done, or put a time limit on even activities or things because you need to get back to doing other things. So many tools to use. Part two, there's a lot more to this. Organization, labeling, and workflow. If you have an office, front desk, whatever it is, stuff should always be in the same place. It should be labeled, and there should be a workflow process in place. Why? So everybody knows where everything's at, and we're not looking for things. There's no worse thing than paying an employee to spend time looking for something that should already be there. When everybody knows where everything's at and it's labeled appropriately, it's going to make life much easier for you and your business. Now, constant reevaluation, always looking for improvements. I talked about apps a few minutes ago. I'm always looking to see what's out there, and I talk to friends and try to find out what they're using. Do a Google search on a topic and see what's out there. And so I'm always trying to build a better mousetrap, and you should too, because you'll never know what you might find and go, oh man, this is cool. Oh, this is going to save me so much time. So always be looking for those improvements. And in the world, like I said, of apps and all these online softwares, there's so much cool stuff out there. Now, this is a simple tip. It's a kind of an old-fashioned tip, but some people don't do this, is taking inventory in both your personal and business life, as far as things at your business. Make sure you have plenty of everything. Stock up. I mean, a lot of people go to Costco, and you should be going there too. Usually you get a better deal the more you buy. And this obviously pertains to non-perishables. Anything that doesn't have a shelf life, go for it. Load it up. And then check it out every once in a while. The last thing you want to do is run out of stuff. So you want to have a little inventory checklist and check it about once a month. And then you always want to make sure you get it b before you run out and stock up. Now, this last one I need to go into a little bit about, and we're going to talk about the how-to guide for slaying time vampires. We all have to deal with time vampires. It's a pretty common phrase. Now, sometimes vampires, they're innocent people. They're just talkative. Other people just want to just suck your time out of you and just, So a couple of really good, tips here is schedule very specific times to deal with these time vampires, especially if you have to deal with them. Also, here's a couple of really cool hot tips. Anytime you've got to answer a phone, you've got to talk to that person. As soon as you answer the phone, say, hey, Bob, I'm glad that you're calling me. I've got 5 minutes to talk to you about this thing we needed to speak about. Another one is if somebody pops in on you at work or or somebody keeps coming in your office, here's our two huge tips. You're going to use the same one in person. Hey, oh, great. I'm glad you stopped by. I've got about 10 minutes. Tell me what's going on, you know? And then remind that person when that timer is running out that, well, hey, I've got a couple more minutes. I hate to cut you off, but I've got this appointment or whatever it is. I've got this thing online. I got to make a call, you know? And that way they know you satisfy talking to them, but at the same time, you've set boundaries. Now, another thing with time vampires, this is the simple solution in the world. If you have an office door, use it. Close the freaking door. It sends a message. I don't believe in the open door policy. It's a dumb thing. Closing a door clearly shows somebody you don't want to be disturbed. That's what a door is for. You need to focus on something. And be very clear to your assistant or anybody that you're not to be bothered. They take messages or what have you. Anything short of your facility on having a 3-alarm fire, you need to stay focused and complete the task at hand. All right, well, guys, use the completion plan, and you definitely want to do that time on it. This is what sets the stage for this entire module and making all these improvements in your business. Again, there's so many different tools and things out there for you to utilize. You'll be so much happier when you go through this process and you apply what you learn. You'll find yourself making more money, having more time to spend with family and friends, and you'll just be healthier and happier, because that's really what the goal is. We all have to suck it up at some time. I get that. I've worked my 6-7-day-a-week schedules. I've worked my 16-hour days. Sometimes those are things we have to do. It's part of the journey. But when you start to take this module and say, well, where can I open up space? Oh, you know what? I can hire a part-time trainer now. Oh, you know what? I could afford to hire someone to clean my house now. You know, your world starts opening up, because those things will give you instant time you never saw before. And if you're spending too much time watching TV and not doing enough marketing of your business, that's a problem. And that time audit spreadsheet tool will help you identify those problems. You should not be watching more TV than marketing, or at least you get the picture. I mean, you should definitely be spending your time. Now, while I'm on that subject, I want to jump into talking about being effective. I wanted to jump back to this first slide because I kind of glazed over this being efficient versus being effective, and tell you exactly what that means. Let's say you're good at doing administrative work and you could do it really fast. But as I talked about, when we determine our worth, if you're doing admin work, which is $10 to $12 an hour, you may be really efficient at it, but you're not being effective, because you need to look at the big picture of your business. And what I mean by being as effective is you should be doing the things that bring your business the most money. Now, there are times through our journey that we have to suck it up and do these different things, because we're building the business and we're trying to be, you know, budget conscious, or, you know, maybe we've got some debt we need to get rid of and we're really just trying to carry a heavier load. But even in the grand scheme of things, you have to reach that point where you got to start being effective, not just efficient. Now, the ideal situation is, you know, you're doing something that's bringing money into your fitness business and you're being efficient at it. So being efficient and effective is the ideal goal. But just being efficient and doing things you're not supposed to be doing that you could have somebody else do through barter, delegation, or hiring somebody else is hurting you. So I want you to remember to always think about being effective. And being effective means you're doing the things you should be doing to bring the most revenue into your business. Because when you're spending your time that way, more time is going to be able to open up over time. And then you're just going to keep moving this process forward. You're going to be able to hire this person. You're going to be, oh, I'm going to get this new online software system. It does everything. It does billing. It does scheduling. You see where I'm going with this? The more you're able to be effective, the more you're able to evolve your business and compress your time. And, you know, sometimes people think it's a myth when, you know, you find out these people that have these amazing businesses and they're making all this money and they're hardly ever there. Well, that's the goal. That's the goal. And if somebody else has done it, especially in our industry, we certainly can do it too. Guys, I appreciate you taking the time, and I hope this module's been very helpful to you. Again, nothing gets done unless you take action and implement. It's been my pleasure doing this. This is Mark signing off.